Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you this morning that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We thank you, Lord, that no matter what the media says, no matter what the world says, no matter what the neighbor says, Lord, we know what your word says. And we know, Lord, that our faith in you causes us to rise above everything that would try to bring us down. Lord, we put our trust in you today. And we ask, Lord, right now that you would be in this place. Lord, you would lift up our spirit. Lord, that you would exalt. Lord, that your name would be exalted. And Lord, that everything we do here would bring glory and honor to you. Lord, may you speak to us through worship and through prayer and through the message today. May you be honored today. And may you feel as welcome as you ever have here. Lord, may we not leave here the same as we came, but may we grow closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated.
Take a journey with us down Route 66.
The world has changed in this last year and a half, but yet the need for the gospel hasn't changed.
I'm going to be traveling across America.
The Route 66 tour is to remind people as we go across the country that God has not forgotten us. This pandemic hasn't changed the need for the gospel. And we're following Route 66 all the way down to San Bernardino, going up to 8 different cities.
We have music, preach the gospel, give an invitation, people get saved.
God loves you, okay?
Our prayer is for a spark of revival in this community.
It's really easy for people to say yes to a free concert. And hopefully by the end of the night, it's really easy for people to say yes to Jesus.
Jesus Christ is God's son. I want the world to know that.
Just walk out, bring your chair, and sit and listen.
Very important to be a volunteer. From the very first training I went to today, it is a well-oiled machine.
To be a part of the team is just like nothing but blessing upon blessing.
I want you to stand to your feet and accept Christ by faith. And by standing, you're saying to God, I believe Jesus Christ is your son. I want to trust him as my Savior, and I want to follow him as my Lord from this day forward.
I may not get another chance like this. I got to give my life fully to Christ, which I've never done before.
I feel alive. I feel clean. I feel forgiven.
When I said that prayer, I know God forgave me. And all the things that I left here tonight, it's not going home with me.
This doesn't happen just sitting in a pew. This doesn't happen watching it on TV. You got to step up, show up, and live it.
Come on now, that's something I can get behind right there. Presenting the gospel and giving people an opportunity to know Jesus. Amen? Amen, amen. There's information about this tour out in the foyer. A couple of things we want you to know is, first of all, if you're interested in working the event, there's a training, the last training. There's been three of them. The last one that's available is this Thursday. This Thursday, and all the information is out on the foyer table, and you can find that there. And if you want to work it, be a part of it, be able to pray with people, be able to serve, you need to go to that training, all right? I know Pastor's going to be going, and I'm going to look and see if I can get it in my schedule too. And so we encourage you for that. And then also, here's something that's really cool, is that the stop for here in Oklahoma City, you need to mark your calendar now, is Saturday, September 25th. That's in the bulletin here. And I don't know if you read your bulletin, but did you notice where it's at? It's on the south lawn of the Oklahoma State Capitol. And what a cool picture of our Oklahoma State Capitol and downtown Oklahoma City. And I'm believing for thousands to be there and the gospel to be proclaimed. For live Christian music to be played and for decisions, eternal decisions to be made. Amen? Amen. So if you'll be praying about that, there's some invite cards out there on the table. There's still a few signs, I believe, back there. You can stick one in your yard or in your business or whatever, letting people know when that's happening. And would you just believe with me for big things that people would, more than anything else, you know what saves more than masks and vaccines and medicine and doctors and all that. Jesus saves. And so we want people to experience the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We've got a discovery and membership class starting the next two Sunday mornings. It'll happen during the Sunday school hour right over here on the west side of the sanctuary. And we would love for you to be a part of that. Pastor's going to lead that. So whether you're interested in membership, or maybe you're a new member, or you've just started coming to church here and you just want to learn more about what we believe and who we are, Pastor would love to meet with you and share with you. And he'll have a class all about that. And we invite you to that. It's open to whoever would like to come. And then September 10th and 11th is the women's conference called the Daughters Conference. And if you're interested in going that and you have not registered, please see Miss Carol. Miss Carol's back there in the sound booth. She's waving right now. And or my wife, Kelly, she's waving. And either one of them can get you signed up and ready to go. I know we've already got a good group registered and would love to add you to that group. And they're going to have a tremendous time together. So there's lots and lots of announcements. We're going to ask the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. How many of the Lord's been good to you? Come on. Better than we deserve, for sure. And I know that I feel blessed and believe that the Lord has continued to place his hand upon all of us here as we continue to further the gospel. Amen. Lord, we thank you. We thank you once again for all that's given. We ask, Lord, that as it is given, Lord, cheerfully, Lord, that it be multiplied supernaturally, and that people would come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. We thank you so much, Lord, for what you're doing here at Noble Assembly. And we pray you would just continue to multiply it, multiply our effectiveness in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tried so hard to see it. It took me too long to believe it, that you choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never earn it. You give what we don't deserve it. You take the broken thing, raise him to glory. And you are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavens, striving seas
Mark 11:24, it says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. This morning, we need to ask in prayer that God intervenes in our nation. We need a move of God like we've never seen before. That touches not only the church and causes her to rise up to become an army that God needs, his army to go out and tell people about him, but rises us up to be a light in a dark world. Because right now people are afraid and they're scared. But I don't have to be afraid because I serve the Lord God Almighty. He is the Lord of lords and the God of gods. He is a great God. He is a mighty and awesome God, and I have no need to fear. So if we stand up and we believe and we cry out, I believe, I know that he will answer our prayer. And he will intervene and he will be our champion. I'm so excited and I cannot wait to see how God just comes into this nation and how he just flows over and he gives us peace. And he starts touching hearts and he starts drawing them to him. And we have people walking in the door saying, I don't know why I'm here, but I drove by and I felt a need to pull in because they want to know about him. Because he's the only one that's going to give them peace during this time. He's the only one that's going to be able to comfort them. And I believe that if we ask, that we will receive. Say this mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will never break. But they don't know you like we do. For there is power in your name. We've heard that there is no way through. We've heard the tide will never change. They haven't seen what you can do. For there is power in your name. So much power. Impossible. We believe in the name of Jesus that there is power. That there is power in your name. And we cry upon the name of Jesus this morning for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon this place and upon this nation. We cry out for you, Lord, that you would come and that you would minister here. For we believe that you can do all things. And there are people here who need healing in their bodies. There's people who need financial blessings. There's people here who need just a touch of you. And Lord, we stand here believing that you're going to come and you're going to minister and that we're going to see miracles. We're going to see life transformed. We're going to see things happen here that we've never seen before. And we are just come expecting because there is power in your name. We praise you, Jesus. We glorify your name. Hallelujah. There is power in the name of Jesus. Do you believe that? There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Bought our redemption and
chain, break every chain, break every chain. Well, there's an army rising up, and there's an army rising up, and there's an army rising up to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Let's give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be your name, Lord. Praise your name, God. Lord, break every chain in this country, in this world, Lord. Those that are bound in sin, Father God, let them be released by the power and the name and the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we lift up Cameron Smith, who was injured in a wreck last night. We pray that you would just be with him. We pray, Father God, that you would just heal his injuries. Lord, we thank you that it was non-life-threatening, but we just pray that you touch him just the same and heal every part that is not as it should be. Lord, just minister to Cameron right now, we pray. Father, we pray that you would be with Jody Hill, whose brother passed away this week. I pray that you would just give comfort and peace to Jody and her family. We pray for Sheila Weissman's little niece, Daphne, who has leukemia, 4 years old. Lord, we just pray that you would touch Daphne today. Lord, that you would just right now let her blood be made completely made whole. Lord, just cleanse her blood of every cancer cell, we pray. Let her be touched by your power today. Father God, be with Rose Marie, who's not feeling well today. I pray that you touch her. And Lord, we do pray that you would just touch our nation, touch this Franklin Graham crusade. We just pray right now that you would just begin to prepare hearts and minds for this wonderful night here in our state. We just thank you, Lord, for workers. We pray the Lord of the harvest send forth laborers into the harvest field. And we just pray for a great, successful night of evangelism on September the 25th. Lord, just let your will be done in this service this morning. Thank you for everyone that's here and those that are watching over the live stream. We just pray that you just meet every need today, Lord, that lives are touched and changed. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. We are so glad to have Phil and Kim Rojak with us. They are missionaries to Papua New Guinea. We first got acquainted with them when our daughter and son-in-law were working in Papua New Guinea and got acquainted with them. And they've been in Papua New Guinea, I think, since 2010, I believe they said, and been in the missionary work for about 25 years. And love this young couple and their family. And they've got married kids now, grandkids. I say young couple. They're still young compared to Methuselah. We're young, right? Compared to Methuselah, we're all young. All right. Help me welcome Phil and Kim Rojak today. Amen.
Hello. Welcome to Uttermost PNG. We are Phil and Kim Rojak.
We say PNG, that is Papua New Guinea, an island nation in the South Pacific. We say Uttermost PNG because the islands of the Pacific are literally the uttermost parts of the earth from the birth of the church in Jerusalem.
But we also like to say uttermost because it describes the extreme conditions of Papua New Guinea. We have extreme terrain, mountains, valleys, and vast coastland. We have extreme roads. We have extreme rivers. We have extreme people, 800 tribes, 8 million people.
Hebrews 7:25 speaks of Jesus' ability to save to the uttermost those who come to him. To reach people in Papua New Guinea requires people who are willing to go to the uttermost places to reach people living in the uttermost circumstances.
Much gospel light has come to Papua New Guinea. Missions of many kinds abound. Energetic and passionate believers can be found throughout Papua New Guinea. But the harvest of souls is not complete, and underreached villages need evangelists and church planters. People are still bound and influenced by the fear of the spiritual realm, sorcery and traditions. Tribal fighting is rampant, and payback killings are frequent.
In 2010, the Assemblies of God World Missions came alongside the Assemblies of God of Papua New Guinea to assist in fulfilling the Great Commission of reaching the lost and discipling the found.
The task is large, as we are talking about a combined landmass the size of the state of California. It has been our prayer and our area directors, Brian and Renee's best prayers, that God would raise up 25 missionary units to serve this vast country, five missionary families serving in each one of the five regions of the Assemblies of God. The results can be exponential.
Areas that are identified as key ministry areas are evangelism and church planting, pastoral development, children's ministry, next-gen youth, and to this we add teen challenge, and health and community development.
God has blessed us with two new families to join us in opening up this new field for the Assemblies of God World Mission. The Anders family will be focusing on evangelism and church planting, and the Julian family will work in the area of health and community development.
We will continue to serve in various capacity as a missionary at large, but to that we add the hat of missionary mentors. We believe God is giving us a team that will complement the efforts of our local leaders and pastors and build God's church in PNG.
Please prayerfully consider partnering with us by your prayers and monthly support in reaching the uttermost parts of the earth.
Good morning, everyone. We're just so thankful this morning to have the opportunity to come by and see everyone again, and also to tell you thank you for your partnership with us and what has been happening in Papua New Guinea. We believe that it's not us, just us, but you're there working alongside us, supporting us, and we just appreciate that so much. So thank you for the opportunity to come again. We are a little bit older. We're not that young couple anymore, and we are happy to say we have four handsome grandsons that's been added to our family, along with some son-in-laws and daughter-in-law too, but anyway, we're happy to be here this morning. And as you saw in our video, it just introduces what our vision has been and what it is and we're focusing on for the future of Papua New Guinea. And those five key areas are the things that we have been functioning in already. And we just like to tell you a little bit about a few of the things that we've done in a few of those in those areas. You know, we believe the harvest of souls is not complete. And, you know, as we look around here in Oklahoma, all over the United States, we can say the same thing. The harvest of souls is not complete. And one way that we've been reaching out to those souls is through a tract ministry. And because of Light for the Lost and those who give sacrificially to it, we are able to purchase tens of thousands of tracts, and we have, and we've been passing those out in Papua New Guinea. We've been giving them to our pastors. We've been taking them to our Bible schools and asking people to pass them out and to reach out to those who are still lost so the harvest of souls can continue.
The second area that we like to really work in, and it's really more my ministry than Kim, although Kim does help out with some teaching, is pastoral development. You know, when we talk about church planting and the local church is very important in the Assemblies of God. You know, there's many denominations that kind of push evangelism, and evangelism is great, but we've got to have established local churches within the community that can impact that community and make a difference with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so if you're going to plant churches, you have to have have individuals ready to go in and pastor those churches and be those workers within the churches. And so Papua New Guinea is not just blessed with only one Bible school. We actually have five Bible colleges within the Assemblies of God with a constituency of about 150 students every year studying and preparing for the work of the ministry. So we're really excited about the potential to reach those underreached places and some even unreached places with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it's been a blessing to be able to strengthen our Bible school program a few years back. And Pastor Steve helped in this, was collecting many library books to put into our Bible colleges. Four of our Bible colleges had no library whatsoever to speak of. So in 2016, collected hundreds and hundreds of books and also blessed our National Bible College with a fresh, updated library, and just impacting our students in that particular way. Working with our pastors that maybe have never had an opportunity to go to Bible school, we were blessed with 2,000 fire Bibles. That's like a Pentecostal study Bible, has great notes in it, and we were able to bless so far over 1,500 of our pastors with a copy of that study Bible. You know, for them, oftentimes that's the only resource that they have in studying and preparing their sermon messages. So we're really excited for what God is doing among our pastors, but we still need more pastors, more Christian workers, so please continue to pray for us in this past area of pastoral development.
You know, we believe in discipling the found, and who are we discipling? We're discipling the found is the people in our churches, our children. And I believe that's one of the most important ministries of the local church, is to take our children, teach them about Christ, and help them to understand how much God loves them, and so they can come to decision for Christ themselves, and also so they can combat any false doctrines they may hear or come across in their lives. And in Papua New Guinea, there's a huge areas of need in children's ministry. It's pretty much been non-existent. Some are catching the vision, and that's what I've been doing, is casting vision to our national leaders and our pastors to help them understand the importance of children's ministry. And one of the ways I've done is through workshops. We've been running workshops. We've had several in the past 4 years, and hoping to do many, many more to train people how to do children's ministry. And by that, I mean just teaching the very basics, lesson planning, age-appropriate learning, you know, using visual aids, all those little things that you take for granted that you already know if you're a Sunday school teacher, that they haven't got to experience. So that's one area that we've been working in. We're also very thankful for BGMC. If your church gives us to that, let me tell you, it's just such a huge help and assistance to missionaries. We appreciate it so much. And we were able to purchase a high-speed duplicator and print 1,200 Sunday school books that we've distributed throughout the country of Papua New Guinea. We have a brochure back on the table that was produced with BGMC funds that talks about the country of Papua New Guinea from a children's level, and how they can see what the people are like, what they eat, what kind of sports do they like, all different kinds of things that helps them learn about Papua New Guinea, how they can pray for it, and just be aware of people who don't know about Jesus yet.
You know, they say in the islands of the Pacific that over half the population is age 26 and under. And so there's a great need for children's workers as well as youth workers within our churches. And we're interested in reaching the youth, but we need more individuals, more missionaries to come and work in the area of youth. Pastor said young man, but I'm actually 62 years old, probably older than he is. But anyhow, the Lord has helped me as far as my looks are concerned, just to stay a little bit young looking. But anyhow, you know, the need for youth workers, and that was one of the things that our area director, Brian Webb, had the opportunity to preach the other day at General Council in the youth meeting. And one of his emphasis was reaching some of those youth pastors that are in our Assembly of God churches in America who are willing to give it all up for Jesus and go overseas and become youth pastors to the youth pastors in our islands of the sea and many other areas of the world. But one of the areas that we have been working quite a bit in is the area of Teen Challenge. In 2016, the Teen Challenge Ministry was introduced in Papua New Guinea. We were able to host the Asia Pacific leader, Jim Lowens, He came and gave a talk about Teen Challenge. Thankfully, we had an individual there that he wasn't, though he was not an Assemblies of God minister, he was already doing the work among individuals that were recovering from alcohol addiction, marijuana. Marijuana is a big issue there now in Papua New Guinea. One of the villages that I went into where this gentleman who leads this center that we already have there, he took us into one of the villages where the individuals that he's helping to get away from the power of marijuana, you go into the village and right there are these marijuana plants growing, you know, just like they're kind of like an artistic bush within that village. How many of you know that it might be kind of difficult to get over your habits of addiction when something is so close in proximity there? But the Lord is blessing, and we've come alongside this ministry now, and it has become the first Teen Challenge Center in Papua New Guinea, and we believe it's going to be the first of many. And so we're making this kind of like our model center. It's a day program right now. We're moving it to a residential program, I'm trying to say, because when you have a residential program where they come in for several months at a time and they're kind of isolated from those that are around them, the pathway to victory is so much easier within their Christian life. And obviously some of them come not even being a Christian yet, but then while they're there, they give their hearts and their lives to Christ. And so he's already had a couple graduates go on to Bible school and prepare and become pastors. And so we really believe that the Lord wants to minister this. You know, the Bible said God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And you know, what's the most stupidest thing that one person could do is be a drug addict, amen? And I used to be a marijuana smoker, so I'm talking about myself. It was stupid for me to smoke marijuana, but thank God for his delivering power that can set us free from the yoke of sin. And not only that, but bring us into his service, amen, and to surrender to his will and do his plan for our life. So pray for our Teen Challenge program. Pray for the men that are involved in that. The ladies have really not get involved yet. They're actually kind of more like the sellers there. They go into the markets with the marijuana and sell it undercover. Many of them don't admit to their own addiction, but the men are much more forthcoming. Oftentimes they'll have things with the youth where the youth will come and confess their sins and their shortcomings. And when you look at them, it's primarily all the young men. It's very rarely any of the young women. And so anyhow, God can work among both groups.
As we've been through the pandemic this last year, we have saw open doors of opportunity for churches to reach out in our communities in ways that we've never had before, through food distribution, just counseling people who are so afraid and fearful or who have lost loved ones, you know, in various different ways. And we believe that's one way that we can reach into areas that have maybe been resistant to the gospel or may not even heard a gospel witness yet. So we're really excited about health and community development, our family coming to primarily focus on that where we are, and to be able to be a part of that. We've been doing HIV/AIDS teaching as a part of that, just doing some different things. We had an earthquake about 4 years ago, a big earthquake in one area not far from us, and we were able to get funding from Convoy of Hope to buy water tanks because all the water sources were polluted by landslides. We live in the mountains, and they were able to set those up at churches and catch the rain and be able to give some opportunities to have clean water to the people there. So it's a huge area that can be just utilized in so many different ways there. So we're thankful for the opportunity again to come. If you haven't came by our table, we have a Worldview magazine that was produced a few years ago that kind of talks about PNG, has a lot of pictures in there to help you see some of the people and what it's like there. If they're free, just take one if you'd like. And then we also have our prayer cards. If you haven't picked one up, we'd love for you to pick one up so you can put it on your fridge or on your dartboard, wherever you go every day, and have the opportunity to see them and to remind you to pray for us. And we, again, thank you so much for your prayers and standing behind us in this ministry.
And so it is good to be back here, and thank you so very much. And your partnership in the work of the ministry is much appreciated. So you see, our great prayers right now is for monthly support. The church already supports us monthly, and we appreciate your faithfulness in giving to the missions program of your church so the church can continue to give to missions and missionaries. I believe the Lord is coming soon, and the time of our planting, the time of our watering, the time of harvest is now, and we must be about the master's business. So thank you for your support of missions. Thank you for your prayer. prayers for missionaries, and continue to believe God for even greater things in Papua New Guinea. And as you saw in the video, our desire is for more workers. We have right now, just my wife and I have been there full time since 2012, working with the Assemblies of God, coming alongside our national church there. Now we have two new families coming, one to be primarily involved in church planting and the other community development. But we do need workers among the youth. We have other slots and areas. And, you know, some people might say, well, I saw those five different ministries, but that doesn't describe me at all. But you know what? We have a place for everyone. Amen. And no matter what you have or maybe what you think you don't have, you know, if God speaks to your heart and calls you and says, go, just go. Amen. And trust God to work out the details. He has an amazing way of doing that and preparing us one step at a time. You know, I came out of drugs and alcohol. I got saved. I had hair down to my shoulders. It was back in the late 70s. And God put somebody in my life and witnessed to me and planted that seed. I went to a church where, you know, I never heard the gospel, but I heard about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I never doubted the existence of God, but I didn't know how to be in personal relationship with him. Amen. But thank God that God sends somebody across my path, planted that seed. Another person was there to water that seed and invite me to a revival where I went in and got saved and gave my life to the Lord. And then God baptized me with the Holy Spirit. And 2 months after that, just praying at the altar. Don't really remember what I was praying about, but all of a sudden the Lord whispered two words into my spirit. And those words were New Guinea. This was back in 1978, and I instantly knew that God had called me to be a missionary, amen? And so I'm so glad that we have the Holy Spirit who can direct our footsteps, and he can lead us and guide us. You know, he was there in that prayer meeting when Paul and Barnabas were praying. Paul was known as Saul at that time, but all of a sudden the Holy Spirit spoke in that ministry and said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work that I've called them to do. And so I want to encourage you today, friends, that God is still calling. Amen? He's still putting his hand upon lives and saying, I have a special work for you to do. And so the song people were talking about, the worship leaders were talking about God raising up this army. And I believe the Lord is raising up a last day army to be part of this last day harvest. And maybe it's one of you. Amen? I believe it's all of us, actually, but some of you are going to be called in a special way to leave this place and to go someplace that you've never been to before or you've never dreamed of going. That's the way our God works. And so today I'd like you to go with me to Psalm 110. Psalm 110. I'm going to preach from a psalm that not often is used, and I could probably say before I've used it, I've never heard it as a missionary text, but I'm sure somebody has used it along the way. So I won't claim to be the first or anything like that. Amen. This psalm is actually one of the most quoted psalms in the New Testament, and one writer called it the crown of all psalms. And Martin Luther described it as one that should be overlaid with precious stones. And so that gives you an idea of what this psalm was like to these church leaders of the past. But I'll read starting at verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength, or the scepter of thy strength, out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. I'd like to read that verse in another translation. It goes like this. It says, your people will offer themselves willingly on the day you lead your forces in holy splendor. From the womb of the morning, like the dew, your youth will come to you. Verse 4, the Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And then this verse really don't sound like a missionary verse or anything like that, but listen to it. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. we'll talk more about those verses. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your grace and your power. Thank you for the presence, Lord, in the song service. Lord, we're so glad that you are so rich, God, that you are so powerful, that you minister among your people, that you strengthen and encourage. And so today, Father, we thank you for the privilege of being back here once again in Noble. Father, to share about the work that you put upon our heart, Lord, and to preach and to share your word. And I pray, God, that through this word today, you would speak. In Jesus' name, amen. The great English preacher Charles Spurgeon, he wrote in the introduction of his study of this particular psalm, he said, "May the Spirit who spoke by the man after God's own heart give us eyes to see the hidden mysteries of this marvelous psalm, in which every word has an infinity of meaning." Now, if you know anything about Charles Spurgeon, he was very, very wordy in his sermons, and they were probably very, very long, and I will endeavor not to be so today. But this psalm, as you look at it, actually covers the time of Jesus' return to heaven at his ascension until his physical second coming to earth. And so you see the Father, the Son returning back to heaven, and the Son, the Father speaking to the Son, and the Son returns to heaven, and the Father speaks to the Son and says, "Son, sit here on my right hand." And then in the last verses, you see the Son coming back in judgment and in wrath against the nations of the world, those who had refused to accept him as his Lord and say, accept him as their Lord and Savior. And so my focus today is on the whole of the psalm, but with the primary thought being on the willing army that God is raising up to reach this world for Jesus Christ. It seeks to answer the question, are you willing? And so to get started, I'd kind of like to set up a contrast of the willing of those of you and I who said yes to the Lord. In other words, we gave our all for Jesus and trusting that you are still continuing to give your all for Jesus. But you know, as you look out on our world today, we realize that there are many people, many individuals that have not given their lives to Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, they've given themselves over to the powers of darkness. Many of them don't realize that they're instruments of the power of darkness, but they have made themselves available. You see, this world is a battle zone, and Satan has found his willing accomplices, and the spiritual powers of darkness are on the march, and the demonic hordes are arrayed for this last day battle of deception. You know, when we think about different spirits in the world, lying spirits, lustful spirits, addicting spirits, deceptive spirits, mind-crippling spirits, murdering spirits, greed spirits, pleasure spirits, seditious spirits, you know, just a casual view of the news will tell us that there are powers of darkness that are at work in our time, in our age. I'm sure if you're like me, you're kind of looking at things and seeing how things are quickly developing, and we're moving toward that end times so quickly, and we can't believe that it's happening so quick. But you see, we are in the last days, and things are starting to come together, and there is an army of individuals that have given themselves over to the powers of darkness as willing human agents. You see, none of these spirits really could not operate unless they had willing vessels. Now, I'm not saying that all these vessels are conscious that they're being used of the devil, but many people are being used of the devil. I remember when I was out in sin, I liked to go to rock concerts. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, and that's where the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is, and the rock groups would roll through there one after another, and I saw some of the top acts of those days back in the 70s. But I remember one day I went to a Yes concert, and I didn't have anybody to go with me. Usually I'd have a girlfriend. They didn't usually last for long, but I'd have a girlfriend. Sometimes I'd have a friend that would go with me. But this particular time, I didn't have anyone, but I had my younger brother. So I said to my younger brother, Joe, I said, "Hey, you want to come to me with this rock concert?" He said, "Sure." And so we went into that Yes concert. I remember the group was down there on the stage, and I had seats up here, and we were looking down on them. Whenever I went to a rock concert, I always took my marijuana with me. And that day I lit it up and I passed it to my brother and he smoked it. And we just got high together that day. And you know, he never said anything to me about that until after I became a Christian. And you know what he said to me? He said, "Phil, you know what?" He said, "You're the first one that ever gave me marijuana to smoke."
And you know, here I am, a born-again Christian, trying to get my brother to give his heart to the Lord and surrender to Jesus Christ. He still hasn't done it to this day. He told me at the time, he said he was 16, I was 19. And he said, well, when I get to your age, then I'll give my life to Jesus too. Well, 19 passed, 20 passed, and now here he just turned, he will be turning 60 years old, I believe, this year. And he still doesn't know Jesus as his Savior, but I'm still working on him, amen? And I believe the Holy Spirit is still working on him as well. But you see, I was a willing human instrument to the powers of darkness that brought him into an addicted lifestyle. Thank the Lord he's not smoking today, smoking marijuana, still hitting the beer. But anyhow, he just needs Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But be they conscious or be they unconscious, they're still being used by the powers of darkness. These spirits are operating in our governments, local, state, national, international. They're moving the tides of events. These spirits are operating in our educational institution, multiple places and levels of society. Now, I'm excited that Jesus Christ still has people operating on all of these levels as well. We have Christians in government. We have Christians in the educational institution. But the powers of darkness are definitely doing their influence in these places. And these spirits are marching, a last day army of evil. Paul said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And that's truly where we are at in our time, in our society. Why is this so? It's because people are willing instruments to the powers of darkness. The world is deceived. Should this surprise us? No. Their director of the affairs of this world is called the prince and the power of the air. Radio, TV, internet, print media, all of it brought into just one device that all of us carry every day. The powers of darkness are very real. I'm glad for my cell phone. I'm glad for the things that I get out of it. I'm glad that you can use it for the kingdom of God. But friends, in reality, you go to Papua New Guinea, where not many of the young people are blessed with enough money to have a cell phone. And the ones that do, they instantly become the most popular individuals within their circles. And a lot of those young people are bringing things up on the cell phone that they should not see, things that they should not bring up. And as a result, the power of sin in that area is growing stronger and stronger. You see, Paul wrote that the mystery of iniquity is already at work. And there's going to be an eventual and total success that will be there someday when the Antichrist kingdom emerges. Paul wrote about this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. If I can get there real quick. There's a marker there. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 and 10, it says this. It says, even him, talking about the Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the truth that they might be saved. You see, friends, there is going to be total success someday. Why is it going to succeed? Because there are men and women whose hearts are beating with the powers of darkness, with these demonic spirits, and saying by their actions, I am willing. And you know what? It could be pretty dark. And sometimes we can get pretty discouraged. I like the exhortation that our sister gave as we were singing. You see, friend, it would be dark, but I want you to be encouraged today. There is hope. Why? Because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are still active in this world. David in the psalm wrote, the Lord said unto my Lord. Think about that. Here David was in a time of prayer. He was in a time of meditation. I'm not exactly sure what was happening at the particular time, but David suddenly hears a voice that is speaking, and in his spirit he senses and realizes that the Lord is speaking to my Lord. Amen. And he's referring to two particular Lords. And we know the third Lord, of course, is the Holy Spirit. So David had an insight into the Trinity that many individuals in the Old Testament time didn't understand. They maybe looked at the Holy Spirit as a power. They might have looked at the Son as a created being, not realizing that the Son himself is also God, that the Holy Spirit, that he himself is God, one God, but active within three persons. And so we know from the New Testament record that this is talking about the Father speaking to his Son. Amen. And so David, I'm sure as he was listening to this, was thinking, wow, this is really good. Wow, this is really unique. And he begins the write it down. And the thing was is that the Spirit of the Lord, who the Bible says in the New Testament, guided those writers in the writings of the Old Testament, was guiding him to put this down in a passage of Scripture, which has become Psalm 110 to you and I today. And you and I have the opportunity of reading the Psalm over and over again of the Father talking to the Son. You see, friend, David in a sense was saying, wow, this isn't gossip, but this is good news. And he was given the privilege and the permission by the Holy Spirit to provide it as a record to you and I. And so it would be in dark, but be encouraged. The Father was talking to the Son. You see, the Father tells the Son, he says, sit thou at thy right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. You see, God's plan is to bring the enemies of God into subjection, either willingly or unwillingly. All will eventually bow their knees. And the Father says to the Son, sit down here until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And so I like to call this Operation Footstool. The Son returns to heaven. The Father speaks to the Son. Son, sit down here on my right hand. You see, there's orders that are going to come out of Zion. Amen. There's orders that God is going to work out his purposes and his will to bring the enemies of God into the subjection to the Son. You see, one of the Father's first directives to his Son on his return is sit down on my right hand. Spurgeon, he wrote of this event. He said, his work is done and he may sit. It is well done and he may sit on his right hand. It will have grand results and he may quietly wait to see the complete victory which is certain to follow. You see, friends, the Son was sent from heaven for a purpose. The Bible speaks of in the Old Testament that God had prepared for him a body and that Jesus, God the Son, willingly took that body. Amen. There in the incarnation, placed into the womb of Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit, born into this world as a human just like you and I are, lived this earth and faced temptation without sin, amen, and carried out the will of the Father by dying on the cross and saving you and I. So Spurgeon is able to write, his work is done. I add, what work is done? Calvary, the cross, the blood, the victory over darkness, the price paid for the law. Lost sins, lost men and women, salvation, deliverance from sin, an open door of holies to holies for all who call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Nothing else has to be added to salvation. The work of salvation has been completed in the sense of purchasing you and I from the powers of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. Hebrews wrote this, the writer of Hebrews, but this man, after he had offered himself as a sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made a footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Amen. And so here we have excitement in the house. Can you imagine the day when Jesus ascended back up to heaven and he walks through those gates? Amen. And he's walking down the road and he's heading to the Father's throne and all the angels of heaven looking upon this, all the Old Testament saints looking upon the return of the Son. And the Father says to the Son, Son, sit here on my right hand. Amen. Now, when we tell our children, sit down. That has a little bit different meaning than what the Father said to the Son. When the Father spoke to the Son, it was a voice of pride. Oh, Son, you completed my will. You followed my purpose. Oh, and when Jesus prayed in that Garden of Gethsemane, I just read in my devotions this week, and Father, if there's another way, if there's another way, but he knew in his heart and his spirit that there was no other way. It had to be the way of the cross. It had to be the way of the shed blood. And Jesus willingly drank of that cup. He drank it and he took it down. And when he comes back to the heaven, the Father is so proud of him that in obedience, the Son of God lived to God the Father. And he said, Son, sit here on my right hand. Why? Because the Father has it all under control. For how long should he sit? The scripture says, the Father said, till I make your enemies your footstool. And I believe, friends, that we read Psalms 110. 10, we can see the process taking place. Amen. You see, God is operating out of heavenly mission control. He said, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion." You see, God sends forth the scepter of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, oftentimes Zion is spoken of, it's symbolic of earthly Jerusalem, but many times it's symbolic of heaven as well. But you know, I really believe both are at work at here. We got a heavenly Zion. We got the directions of the Father, the Son. We got the sending of the Holy Spirit into this world. And all of a sudden we see divine movement taking place out of Jerusalem as the church begins to march forward with the gospel of Jesus Christ, taking the kingdom of God to the hearts of men. And so the Son can sit because the Father has another agency at work. Amen. And that agency is the church, anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit, born to be scepter bearers to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world that needs to know Jesus. Amen. You see, he says, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send forth the rod of thy strength. Talking about that scepter into the world, how is that going to take place? It's going to take place through scepter bearers. Amen. Sometimes I joke around and say that ring bearer has nothing on us. Amen. God has blessed us with the scepter of heaven, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Son is sitting at the right hand, but that scepter has been placed in the hand of the church to go forth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. How can that scepter move without the Son? He's sitting on the throne, because the Godhead is not just the Lord said unto my Lord, but in a sense it's the Lord said unto my Lord, and those two lords spoke to the third Lord, the Holy Spirit. Remember what Jesus said when he was here on earth. He told the disciples and said, "The Holy Spirit is with you, but he shall be in you." Amen. But he had to go away first. The work of redemption had to be completed, and it was completed. He ascended back to the Father, and now the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son to the church of Jesus Christ and baptizes them with the power of the Spirit on that day of Pentecost. 120 with the sign of speaking in tongues show that the anointing of God's Spirit is for real, and that he's not just on the outside anymore, but he comes and takes up residence within this tabernacle of God. Amen. The body of Christ. Amen. And so the Lord sends his Holy Spirit to the church. And what happens? We see a willing group of people that become an army of God. I love that chorus that you were singing about that army. You see, the Bible says, "All the ends of the earth shall remember and to the Lord return to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you." This was a scripture in Psalms 22, but it's a promise of God that the nations of the world are going to hear and they're going to turn to the Lord, and that all the families of the earth are going to be worshiping before him. And you saw that video I just showed you there in Papua New Guinea, those saints dancing and moving around, worshiping before the Lord. What happened? The gospel of Jesus Christ got there, and the gospel has got to the kingdoms of the world, the nations of the world, I should say. But you see, friend, the work is not complete. It is still not finished. There's still groups out there that need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. 120 said, "I am willing on the day of Pentecost." Peter preached a sermon that day, and 3,000 people got saved. More willing instruments for the Lord. Acts is a record of people saying, "I am willing," willing to bear the scepter of the rule of Christ to the hearts of men. Philip said, "I am willing," and he took the gospel across culture to the Samaritan. Oh, the Samaritans were a despised people by the Jews, but yet that didn't let Philip get limited. He went and took the gospel to him. Peter said, "I am willing," and took the gospel to the Gentiles. That sheet of unclean animals was lowered before him three times and taken up into heaven, and each time the Lord said to him, "What I have cleansed, do not call unclean." Amen. And what he was telling Peter through a picture was, "I have cleansed the Gentiles as well as the Jews. You can look at all the nations of the world and just say that they're unclean beasts, but my eyes, they are not unclean beasts, but they are precious." And what I see, Peter, is I see those nations of the world bowing down before me, worshiping me, before an enemy of God, but now becoming a friend of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul said, I am willing and launched out to the uttermost parts of the earth. Church history is a testimony of people who said, I am willing. I read of one missionary biography. A young man had gone to Japan just before World War II, worked in the offices of government, but he didn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But you know, he couldn't find a place to sleep, a place to rent that was cheap enough. And finally, a missionary came forward and said, hey, look, you could stay here with me. I got an extra room. And that man moved with him, in with him. And all of a sudden, that gospel was brought forth in his life. And there was a transformation that took place. An American saved in Japan gave his heart to the Lord. And he was praying and seeking the Lord one day and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he heard the Lord. He said he was outside. And all of a sudden, a bright light seemed to shine. And he said, Japan and Pentecost until Jesus comes. In other words, God spoke to his heart, I want you to be here for me as a missionary to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Individuals have been called over and over again, friend, to do just that. God is still looking for those who are willing to say, Lord, I am willing. You see, our message in the spirit, in a sense, is just like the messenger that was here. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. You see, this is the beauty of God's program, is that God takes the enemy and makes them his friend. There's a scripture in Colossians. I'd like to turn there real quick. It's harder to turn to a scripture when you have a microphone in your hand. Amen. But the book of Colossians, the verse in verse 21 and 22, it said, And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. You see, the beauty of God's program is that he takes the enemy and he makes them his friend. We come under Christ's feet as a part of his footstool, subject to the eternal God. Now, I have to admit that the book of Ephesians says we're seated together with him in heavenly places. And I like to think, Pastor, that Christ is just kind of sitting there. You and I get saved, and there we are in his footstool. In other words, we come into submission to the King, and the Son kind of reaches down and said, you've been down there long enough. Here, come on up here and sit down on the throne right here next to me. Amen. And Paul is able to say, we're seated together with him in heavenly places. But you see, friends, God is calling out the enemies of God to make them the friends of God. He calls us, and now we become willing scepter bearers that say yes to God, functioning in society and holding forth the words of life. Are all going to listen and heed? No, but our mission is still that of proclamation. The program has not changed. You know, when I got saved, I gave my heart to the Lord. I was excited. I told you I was from Cleveland, Ohio, and I ended up down in Missouri. My sister and brother-in-law had moved down there, and my brother-in-law had invited me down there, and they didn't know when I went down there that I was already under the work of God. God was, in other words, convicting me of sin already, showing me my need of a Savior, but I really didn't understand how to be born again at that point in time. And I came down there under the conviction of sin, and the Holy Spirit continued his work while I was there and continued to put the pressure upon me until finally I ended up in an Assembly of God church, and the altar call was given, and I said yes to the will of God. I surrendered to the plan and purpose of God, and I was an enemy of God, and I became a friend of God. Amen. And of course, I was excited, and just like our Sunday school teacher shared, you know, I wanted to go share it with my family, but unfortunately my family wasn't ready to hear. But I happened to go to the library while I was up there in Ohio visiting them, and as I was going into the library, there was a fellow walking out. His name was Mark Rogers. His name is Rogers, my name is Rojack. And so he was right before me alphabetically, and he sat in front of me in homeroom all through junior high and high school when we had homeroom. And so there I saw him that day. He wasn't necessarily a close friend, but we had visited often enough. enough. And so I just started sharing Jesus with him, amen. And you know what he did? I don't know how it happened. You know, it took me about 3 months of deep conviction, but God opened his eyes just instantly. And he said, yes, I want to become a Christian. And he prayed a salvation prayer with me. And he kind of fell off the map for a while. And then I ran into him a few years later. He was still in church, still faithful to the Lord. And then he dropped off the map again. And one day we were in Vanuatu and I got an email. And I opened up the email. I saw it was from him. And he said, are you the same Phil Rojack? And then I wrote back and said, yes, I'm the same Phil Rojack. Yes, we grew up together. And yes, we prayed that sinner's prayer together. But he wrote back to me. And it was so exciting because when he wrote back, he said this, because of you, my wife and I, we are saved today. Because of you, my son and my daughter are saved today. Because of you, my mom and dad are saved today. Because of you, my brother and my sister are saved today. And wow, that made my day. It was exciting. Now, a little part of me was saying, Lord, why couldn't it happen to my family like this way? But you know, God works in different ways and he is at work. But it was exciting to see that. And why did it happen? Because God just keeps up raising willing people over and over that says, Lord, I'm making myself available. I'm giving myself all up for Jesus. And I want to do the will of God. I want to be a willing vessel. Amen. And so God's strategy, friend, is that he is wanting to still rule in the midst of his enemies. He's still wanting to turn the enemies to friends. But he needs ambassadors, individuals to go forth with the word of God. And so God's strategy is still reach the unreached, love the unloved, see the enemies of God, become the friends of God. And so to finish out this task, I believe, is going to require a last day army of volunteers that says, Lord, I am willing. And that's what verse 3a says. It says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. You see, the writer of this psalm hears the words of the Father to the Son. And the Father speaks to the Son. He says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Think about that. Thy people. You know what? This psalm is not just talking about the Father and the Son, but it's talking about you and I. Because this scripture is covering the time of Christ's ascension until his return. And we are thy people, as it says it in the King James. Another translation says, your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power. You see, friend, this is a volunteer operation. We're not in it for the money. We're not in it for the benefits. We're not in it for the acclamation. We're in it for one primary reason, and that's love. A love response that says to the Lord, I am willing to forsake earthly comforts. Amen. I tell you, friends, sometimes that's a challenge when you're out in Papua New Guinea. You know, I always joke around a little bit and say, you know, I'm thankful for my home, that God has blessed us with a home with indoor plumbing in Papua New Guinea, because there's a lot of homes that don't have indoor plumbing in Papua New Guinea. But I'll go out for mission trips to different areas, and I'll have to use some of the plumbing that's local plumbing, amen? And sometimes I find it a challenge and a difficult, and one time I was complaining to the Lord about it, and all of a sudden, you know, sometimes the Lord kind of speaks in that still small voice, and I heard a still small voice and said, I did it for 33 years. What's your problem? Amen. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll never complain about this again. Amen. I want to tell you, friends, we've got to be willing to forsake earthly comfort. We got to be willing to forsake earthly ties. You know, Jesus talked about, because Peter asked, well, what do we get out of this, you know? And Jesus talked about how they would be blessed with fathers and mothers and peoples and lands. And I want to tell you, friend, we have a lot of spiritual fathers and mothers in Papua New Guinea and Vanuatu, where we served before, brothers and sisters, multiplied ways that God has blessed. But willing to go also to the hard places. One of the books that I require for my students to read in Papua New Guinea in missions classes, The Deep Sea Canoe. And in The Deep Sea Canoe, it's about the early mission efforts in the islands back in the 1800s. And John Williams was a pioneer missionary in those days who went throughout the South Pacific with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was later martyred and actually ate by a tribe of cannibals. And so we're talking about a missionary that was living life very, very rough. But, you know, he started his work, I believe, just in the area around Samoa, west of Samoa. And a lot of those individual tribal people were getting saved. But you know what? They had a vision to reach the other islands. You see, they would trade on these big canoes. They were not small canoes. You know, we have these small canoes in Papua New Guinea. They kind of have a little arm on the side to kind of keep them from tottering. I forget what they call those things, but one pastor was telling me one day, that's the name that we give those is the name that we give to our wife. Because, you know, if we're out there on a canoe, it's rather unstable. But when you get this other thing that's along the side there, it kind of stabilizes an individual. And so that's what our wife does for us in our relationship. They keep us stable. Amen. And so anyhow, you know, they would take these deep sea canoes and they would take the gospel to different parts of the Pacific. And you know, the South Pacific at that time, you know, how many of you would dream and love to go to Fiji someday when COVID is over with? I mean, you would love to, you know, but in the old days, you would not have wanted to go to Fiji because it was full of cannibals. You know, I was reading in this book one time and it seemed to be sharing the story where, you know, if you got in a shipwreck and you were washed up on the shore of Fiji and you would say, oh, thank God he spared my life. All of a sudden you'd be met by this group of Fijians, and they're looking at you and saying, the gods have provided us a meal. And so it just depends how you're looking at things. And so it wasn't an easy place to go to, but they went. And somebody asked one of them one day and said, weren't you afraid to go when they talked about Papua New Guinea? And they said, no. They asked him, weren't you afraid you were going to die? And he said, oh, no, we died before we left. We died before we left. And friends, if you're going to become a willing instrument for the Lord, you have to die to yourself. You have to die to your own personal desires. And you have to surrender yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. You see, in verse 3, and I'm close to finishing my message now, it says, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast to do with thy youth. But I like how it says it in this translation. Your people will offer themselves willingly on the day you lead your forces in holy splendor. Another way of saying that is with garments of holiness. And you see, God is still leading his forces. He's still calling people. And I like this last part. From the womb of the morning, like the dew, your youth will come to you. You know, as you saw those two families up there in the video, you know, compared to me, they're but youths. Amen. But they're in their 30s. They're in their early 40s, if that. But God is calling individuals like this to do a last day's harvest. You know, it's interesting. A lot of mission agencies and churches are pulling their missionaries off the field. But you know what's happening in the Assemblies of God? There's people that keep coming forward and saying, I'll go, I'll go, I'll go, I'll go. And so, Pastor, I know it's hard, but you get those emails and you get those letters. I know Oklahoma, just like Southern Missouri, a big sending district, and you keep hearing from these new missionaries saying, I need money. I got to get out there and do what God has called me to do. And you say, I don't know how we're going to do it, but come on, we'll see what God does. Amen. And you know what? God just keeps blessing because there's people like you, friends, that keep giving and saying, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to give, and I'm going to keep giving more, and I'm going to keep giving more because Jesus said not to lay my treasure up here on earth, but to lay it up in heaven. Amen. And that's what missions giving is all about. Well, I don't have time to share the rest of my message, but I want you to be encouraged. If God calls you to surrender and say yes to his will, be mindful of verse 4. It said, the Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, the high priesthood ministry of Jesus Christ. You think I'm insufficient? Well, don't worry. The Son is at the side of the Father making intercession for us, making intercession for his church that we can be everything that he wants us to be. You see, we see there's going to come a day when the Father says to the Son, I just read that in Mark as well this week, where Jesus said, I don't know when I'm coming back. The angels in heaven don't know. The Father in heaven, he is the only one that knows. In other words, there is a time that the Father is going to say to the Son, Son, it's time, and the Son is going to come back. Amen. And we've got to be about the Master's business, friend. Time is running short. And so today I'm going to leave you with the question, are you willing? Are you willing? And just to close with an illustration, our area director, Brian Webb, I don't know if you know Brian, but great preacher, powerful preacher. But Brian's a great area director as well. He actually used to be one of my Bible school students when I taught in a small Bible college in Missouri. But now he's my boss, so I'm glad I treated him pretty nice. But you know, he's got three levels of involvement when it comes to the work of the Pacific. He says, get your feet wet. In other words, you know, when my daughter, my youngest daughter, we went down to Corpus Christi, she was under 2 years old at the time, and we thought she would be just so thrilled about the beach and the ocean. And as soon as we set her feet upon the sand, she started screaming, pick me up, like, you know, she couldn't talk yet at that time, but basically, pick me up, pick me up. She was so afraid. But, you know, once we got to Vanuatu, it's like we couldn't keep her out of the ocean. You see, you can get your feet wet in missions. You can get involved. Go on a short-term mission trip. But, you know, then there's going to the reefs. A little bit deeper water, but you got that snorkel, you got that gear, kind of keeps you afloat on the water, and you see a lot of nice things out there. You can come for a little bit longer into mission. But then there's also launch out into the deep, where you go off the side of that reef. You know, it's kind of like that Nemo movie, you know. What was the father afraid of? Don't get too close to the reef, to the edge of the reef. Why? Because you're going to be pulled into the deep water. And what happened to Nemo? He got pulled into the deep water. Amen. And you know what? That's my prayer today, that some of you are going to get pulled into the deep water of mission, that you're going to say, here am I, Lord, send me. And you're going to just be like Isaiah and launch out and become a part of that last day army. Pastor, I give it back to you. Thank you so much.
Wow. How do you get up and follow that? That was so awesome. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for men and women like that who go spreading the gospel, going telling people about Jesus. And you get to be a part of that too by your going, by your prayers, by your support, by your monthly giving to missions. So I think we're that $100 a month that we give to them is pretty well worth it, wouldn't you say? And so they're worth so much more than that. Bow your heads with me. Father, as we prepare here in just a moment to receive an offering, first of all, Lord, I just want us to pray, to commit ourselves to the harvest. Lord, I see the passion in Phil Rojack and in Kim Rojack and doing what they're doing. And Father, I pray that you would fill us each one with that passion. Passion for your work, passion for your kingdom, passion for the lost. I thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity we have while it is still day that we can do your work. Because we know the night will come when the work will be over. The time will be up. The door will be shut. So, Lord, I just pray that each one of us right now would commit ourselves to say, Lord, we want to be all in for you. God, whatever you put in our hands to do, we want to do. Lord, whatever you place in our hearts and in our minds and in our spirits to do, help us to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'll do that. I'll give. I'll go. I'll teach. I'll sing. I'll serve. Whatever it is, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it. Would you just pray that prayer with me right now, Lord? Just, I'm willing. Lord, I'll go. I'll do it. I'll say yes. I'll say yes to you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for filling me with your Spirit. Thank you for calling me to the harvest. Thank you, Lord. Help me be faithful to you. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, would you come? We want to receive an offering for the Rojacks today. And you can just put Rojack, as I have on your envelope. Make a check out if you're making a check out to the church. If you're giving online, instructions are there. Just put Rojack, R-O-J-A-K. We will make sure he gets all the offering. And I know there's had an increase in their budget, so they have to raise more than they had in the past. And so they're wanting to leave here in the next month or so to get back to the work that God's called them. So, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity we have to sow into this ministry and to give that they might go and win the people there in Papua New Guinea. We thank you, Lord, for them. We pray that you bless Phil and Kim and their children and grandchildren. I pray, Lord, that you just supply every need, that every dollar is supplied, that they can go and not have to worry about budget. I pray for their health. I pray for the anointing. I pray for their well-being in every way. Lord, they're our heroes. And I thank you, Lord, that 40-some years ago, you took this young man who loved rock and roll and loved getting high, and you turned him into a man after your own heart. I pray that you continue to bless the work of his hands and of his wife and of all the ministry that goes forth there on the islands of Papua New Guinea. In Jesus' name. Would you stand as we sing this last song before we go here?
Falling on my knees in worship, giving all I am to seek your face. Lord, all I am is yours. My whole life I place in your hands, God of mercy, humble. Presence at your throne. I called, you answered, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are. My whole life I place in your hands, God of mercy, humbled I bow down in your presence at your throne. I called, you answered, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be
thinking about that. He called and he answered. I think the reverse is true too. The Lord's calling, and we need to answer and say, Lord, here I am. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Praise God. Father, we just pray that you would bless today, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful message. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be involved as volunteers in your army in these days. I pray that you just go with us, Lord, and let us remember as we leave this parking lot that we are missionaries headed to our mission field. And we give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name.